The following sermon was recorded by Brother David Cloud as part of a video series entitled Issues Facing the Churches. This and other materials are available from Way of Life Literature on the web at wayoflife.org.
You turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, and we want to deal tonight with the sound Christian music versus contemporary Christian music. Sound Christian music versus contemporary Christian music. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 21 is our text tonight as we deal with sound Christian music versus contemporary Christian music. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 21, the Bible says, "For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And this is one of the important passages in the Bible on the subject of music. It's only one of many. In fact, the Bible mentions the subject of music at least 550 times. The Bible says a lot about music. And of course, the problem today is the onslaught of contemporary Christian music. We live these days in Oklahoma City, my wife and I. And I have spent a lot of time in Mardell Christian Bookstore. Mardell Christian Bookstore in Oklahoma City has a huge section on music. In fact, the music department is at least two or three times as large as this auditorium. And you go into Mardell Christian Bookstore, and they have all kinds of categories of Christian music, they call it. In fact, everything that the world has tonight, there's a Christian alternative for that type of music. And what I want to do in beginning tonight is just remind ourselves of what contemporary Christian music is and what a great battle this is by playing some short clips from the different sections of music in Mardell Christian Bookstore. There's about eight different sections, categories of music. There's rock, contemporary, urban, rhythm and blues, techno, rap and hip-hop, and modern praise. And we want to give just a clip tonight of each one of those sections, so bear with me as we do this. One of the sections at Mardell's is rock, Christian rock. And there's a section on contemporary Christian. This is Michael W. Smith. Very popular. Of course, each one of these sections is very large. And then there's the urban, a rhythm and blues section of Mardell. This is all Christian music, of course. Next section is called techno. That's the techno Christian rock. The next section's rap, hip hop. The Holy Ghost, Christian rap. And then you've got modern praise and worship. Of recorded at Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida, where they claiming to have a great revival in the last few years, and they get drunk in the Spirit, fall down on the floor, and such things. And some people that hear that are surprised at how wild some of the so-called Christian music is today, and they say, boy, that techno stuff, boy, isn't that just terrible. And yet, I've taken three of the Gaither Homecoming tapes to illustrate how widespread contemporary music is and that it has permeated the Southern gospel scene. I've taken three of the Gaither Homecoming tapes. Now, these tapes are not just the Gaithers. They're most of the big-name Southern gospel people have gotten together to produce these. And we will illustrate what's going on in Southern gospel tonight, and showing how that they also take the world's music and use it. This is what I call Southern gospel honky-tonk. It's your standard Southern gospel honky-tonk. You got Southern gospel Dixieland jazz.
The Lord has been.
You got Southern gospel boogie-woogie. That is the good. Southern gospel blues.
On his way, he has promised that he knows him in all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. We've got people.
You've got Southern gospel rhythm and blues.
I've been washed in the blood, and I'm fully forgiven. I have tasted the goodness of my Savior and Lord. He has brought me from darkness to live in His light, to love, serve, and honor Him with all of my...
And you've got Southern gospel rock.
I can go to the well. I can draw from an endless supply. You can see.
That's just down and dirty rock and roll, but it's Southern gospel. See what we're saying? And so everyone, a large segment of Christianity tonight, is taking the world's music, putting a few Christian words to it, which often you can't even hear, and they're calling it Christian music. And that's the great battleground today. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about music, and God commands us that we test everything by the Bible. And certainly that means we're to test our music by the Bible. The Bible says in Thessalonians that we're to prove all things. And certainly that means we're to take our music and test it by the Bible and make sure it pleases the Lord. And if you get angry at me because I am trying to judge music by the Bible, you're wrong. We need to judge everything by the Bible. Now, I wanted to say something in the beginning tonight about my qualifications to even speak on this subject. For one thing, I lived a rock and roll lifestyle for many years. Before I was saved, in fact, I hitchhiked for about 7,000 miles across this country, stayed in rescue missions and stuff. I was arrested and went to jail for drug possession and just lived an absolute sorry life. I lived a rock and roll lifestyle. I do know something about rock and roll music. I wasn't saved until I was 23 years old. I got involved in Hinduism, and I just totally absorbed myself in everything that rock and roll had to offer in those days. Not only that, but I have studied music very diligently. I played music for 6 years of my life. I played first chair, first clarinet in a very large band, marching band in Florida. Was invited to play for the Lakeland Symphony Orchestra. Took private lessons and all. So I do have a background in music. And I have studied music very diligently. We've written two books on music. One is called Contemporary Christian Music Under the Spotlight. It goes very deeply into the subject of contemporary Christian music. We have copies of that book on the table in the back. We've also written a large book on rock and roll music. It's called Rock Music Versus the God of the Bible. And I am convinced with all of my heart tonight that rock and roll music is evil, and it has always been evil, and it can be nothing but evil. And it's impossible to sanctify it unto the Lord. But we've done a lot of research into music. Now, the passage that we took tonight in Ephesians gives us our outline. And I believe we can take this passage and find out what kind of music we should have by just going through this one passage in the Bible. And also one more verse that I want you to read with me tonight, and that is in Colossians 3:16. One more verse that we want to take as our text tonight, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now the outline for the Christian's music is, first of all, going back to the book of Ephesians, sound Christian music is, number one, for Christians, and it is for the Lord. Number two, sound Christian music is always holy music. Number three, sound Christian music will emphasize the melody. Number four, sound Christian music is God-centered, not man-centered. Number five, sound Christian music is always done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, sound Christian music always flows from a submissive attitude. And number seven, sound Christian music is always separate from the world. Number eight, sound Christian music creates a vigilance and a sobriety in those that hear it. And number nine, sound Christian music is conformed to the Word of God, Colossians 3:16. That's our outline tonight. And we see, first of all, that sound Christian music, music that pleases the Lord, is for Christians and it is for the Lord. In Ephesians 5:19, the passage we read in beginning tonight, we see that we're to speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That means we're speaking to other Christians. Speaking to ourselves, and at the end of the verse it says, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so our music is to be addressed, according to the Bible, to other Christians. We're to be teaching and edifying one another. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We ought to be thinking about our music. We ought to be singing those words from our heart to one another and unto the Lord. We ought to be worshiping the Lord. We ought to be addressing ourselves to the Lord. That's what our Christian music is all about. Well, what does that mean? That means, for one thing, that Christian music is never for entertainment. That's not what Christian music is for. You won't find any justification in the Bible to entertain one another in the Lord. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:26, when it's speaking of our services, when we come together in our congregation together, let all things be done unto edifying. Everything is to be done unto edifying. There's no place at all for a performance in the house of God. There's no place for somebody to be performing with some instrument or with their voice. Or there's no place for entertainment. That's not what we're doing. And won't be unto some musician in the house of God that is putting on a performance and trying to entertain somebody. That's not what the Bible says we're supposed to be doing. Not only that, but this reminds us that Christian music is not for the world. There's not even one example. There's not even a hint anywhere in the Bible that we're to take Christian music and reach the world for Christ with our Christian music. Never, not even once, do we see the apostles going out and singing to the unsaved. There's not even a hint of that in the Bible. And yet, that's one of the major justifications today for Christian rock music. Here's a book, Reaching a Generation for Christ. One of the standard type books that talks about youth work today and ministering to youth. And we do need to try to reach teenagers for Jesus Christ. And we do need to do something to reach them for Christ. But they are saying what we need to do is take rock music and reach them. In this book, the author Richard Dunn says contemporary music is still one of the best tools to build bridges with Christian kids and one of the best hooks to go fishing for the unsaved. There's not any justification at all in the Bible for such a thing. And especially to take the world's music and to say you're going to reach the world with their own sorry music, it makes no sense at all. And so we see that according to the Bible, that sound Christian music is for Christians and is for the Lord. Number two, sound Christian music, according to the Bible, is always going to be holy. How do we know that? Ephesians 5:18-19. It says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And so the Spirit is always to be in control of the music. And it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The music is always to be spiritual music, spiritual or sacred music. That's not a term that's used much anymore. Sacred music, but sacred means holy or spiritual. What does that mean? It means different from the world. It means set apart unto God, set apart from this old wicked world, unto God and His service and pleasure. That's what holy means. The Bible says 9 times that we are to have a new song. New. And that doesn't mean new like 1960 or new like 2001. That means new. It's to be different than what we had before we were saved. It's to be completely different. The Bible says we're to have a new song. New song. And that means when we get saved, our music ought to be different than it was before we were saved, because it's supposed to be holy music. The music we have before we're saved is certainly not holy. It's worldly, because we were of the world. And when we get saved and we're born into the family of God, and we're supposed to be set apart unto God, and everything in our Christian life is to be conformed to His will. Holy. The Bible says in Ezekiel 44, verse 23, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." And the Bible says where our music is to be holy. That's exactly what you don't see tonight in Christian music. It is not holy. It is, in fact, the very philosophy that underlies contemporary Christian music is that all music is the same. That there's no difference at all between music. That any music can be used for the glorifying the Lord. It's the philosophy that music is neutral. Don Butler of the Gospel Music Association said, "There's no such thing as gospel music," he said. "Every style and form of music can become gospel, whether it's jazz, pop, rock and roll, or rap." He says there's no such thing as gospel music. Just this year, the Gospel Music Association held its annual convention, and the theme of the convention was this: music without walls. Music without walls. That means there's to be no separation between us and the world. That's exactly the opposite of what the Bible says about our music. Music without walls. Keith Green, very popular, he died in a plane crash, and yet his music is still sold in bookstores today. Keith Green said, "I believe music in itself is a neutral force." Well, Bill Gaither believes exactly the same thing. Bill Gaither said, "God speaks through all different kinds of musical styles." In 1999, Bill Gaither got together with Toby McKeon of VC Talk, and they formed a production, music production company together, a new record company, because they believe the same thing about music. DC Talk believes you can take rap and rock and any old rotten music and glorify Jesus with it. So does Bill Gaither. They work hand in hand. And that's a philosophy that predominates contemporary Christian music. My friends, that philosophy is not only wrong, it doesn't make any sense. You ask anyone tonight that deals with music, unless they have an agenda that they need to defend, and ask them if all music's the same, they'll say, no, there's different kinds of music that does different kind of things, even to the human body. I remember when our daughter was very small, and she was born in Chattanooga, but when she was only a year and a half old, we took her across the world to the country of Nepal, where Mount Everest is, as missionaries. She didn't know anything about music, but when she was very small, we were in a home, and there was some rock and roll music came on the radio or something, and I remember very distinctly how she just started literally rocking out there, a little toddler girl. She didn't know anything about music. She had not been taught. She had never seen us rocking out, my wife and I. It just did something to her body. We know that. You ask the movie text painter tonight, what's movie text painting? Well, it's the art of creating a musical background to go with a movie. And we all know that the music has a powerful impact on us as we watch a movie. The old silent movies illustrate that. The silent movies didn't have any words. It was just the pianist or the organist. you would blame, but they would literally change the feelings of people. They would make you afraid, or they'd make you tense, or they'd make you happy. And just for the music, you could go tonight to a tavern owner and ask the tavern owner, the bar owner, what about music? Is it all the same? What kind of music you use in the bar here? Oh, we use music that fits what we do around here, which is drink and get depressed and commit adultery and wish our lives were different, that kind of thing. And we have music that just kind of fits that kind of situation. And if you were to take good Christian music and put it into that bar, the whole atmosphere of the bar or the tavern would change just like that. And we all know that. You could ask the voodoo priest tonight about music and whether all music's the same. And the voodoo priest would tell you no. In fact, I've got a quote here from a Macumba priestess in Brazil from a book, African Rhythm and Sensuality. It was not written by a Christian. And here's a quote from the priestess. The rhythm is more important than the meaning of the words. The rhythm is more important than the meaning of the words, the priestess said. Our gods respond to rhythm above all else. I believe that. There are demonic powers in this world. There are certain rhythms that do certain things. You better be careful about rhythm. We could go and ask the rock crowd tonight about music, and is all music the same? We could ask Timothy Leary. Timothy Leary was the 1960s LSD guru. Timothy Leary died, I think, last year. And his ashes are going around the earth tonight. They shot his sent his ashes off into a rocket. And he's going around the world. That's where his ashes are. But Timothy Leary had something to say about music, and he said this: don't listen to the words. It is the music that has its own message. And Timothy Leary knew that music is not a neutral thing. We have men like Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix knew something about music. Jimi Hendrix died of a drug overdose, but he was an expert in rock and roll music. And this is what Jimi Hendrix said. Atmospheres are going to come through music because the music is a spiritual thing of its own. He's saying that music has a spiritual power to it. You better be careful about what kind of music you listen to. There are spiritual things involved in music. There are atmospheres. There are demonic things involved with some music. You better be careful about what music you listen to. I know what kind of demonic powers took control of me back in the 1960s when I began to listen to rock and roll music. There's a man named Robert Palmer who's also dead tonight, as many of the rock and rollers were. Not a Christian, and yet he wrote the book Rock and Roll, an unruly history. Indeed it is. That right there would tell you Christians should have nothing to do with rock and roll. It fits an unruly lifestyle. It does not fit a godly lifestyle. Rock and roll, an unruly history. And in this book, notice what he says about music. I believe in the transformative power of rock and roll. So do I. I believe rock and roll is transformative, but not for the good. This transformative power, he said, and here's not so much in the words of songs or the stances of the stars, but in the music itself, in the sound, and above all, in the beat. He said the beat is where the power is. The beat is where the power is. That's what the rock and roll crowd says. And yet Christians just say, yeah, give me a beat. Give me a beat. I don't want a beat with my music, my friends. I know the power of that beat. And I know that that beat ministers not to the spirit. It ministers to the flesh. And it also ministers to the devil. You ask the rock and roll rock crowd. Here's the drummer for the Grateful Dead, the old 1960s group. 8 members of the and associates of the Grateful Dead are dead tonight. They are dead. And yet the drummer is still alive. Mickey Hart has studied drumming all over the world, traveled to Africa, traveled to South America, studying drums and the power of drums, and he's an expert on drums. And this is what Mickey Hart, the drummer for Grateful Dead, said about music. Everywhere you look on the planet, people are using drums to alter consciousness. I've discovered, along with many others, the extraordinary power of music, particularly percussion, to influence the human mind and body. Yes, percussion influences the body. There have been many times when I felt as if the drum has carried me to an open door into another world. He says drums are powerful. Drums can literally carry you into another world, a spiritual world. Isn't that a warning? Doesn't that warn us that we better be careful about drums and beats and rhythms? That they're not all the same? That literally there are demonic powers that respond a certain way to certain rhythms? We better listen to these people. See, they don't have an agenda. They're not trying to hide anything. They are just saying what they know is true about music. And we know for sure that music is not a neutral thing. In fact, there are some kinds of rhythms that produce licentious effects upon people. Professor Longhair was one of the old bluesmen of old. In fact, he hasn't been dead that long. And Professor Longhair, his music was boogie-woogie. And the Gaithers play boogie-woogie all the time. And this is how it was described in one of my books on the blues. He says, his music caused women to jump and wiggle. And he's talking about the way they were immoral, and the way they danced, and the way they were seductive, and the way they committed adultery with one another. My friends, we don't need music that causes women to do such things. And literally, he said, the music caused them. Robert Johnson was one of those old bluesmen. Robert Johnson. And this is how his music was described. He said, this sound, my music, affected most women in a way that I could never understand. He said, my music did something to women to cause them to do things. He said, I don't even understand it, but he liked it. He was an adulterous man. The Memphis Beat is one of the many books that I read on the blues and the histories of the blues, and which is the precursor to rock and roll. And it's about Memphis, the Memphis Beat, the part of Memphis that was involved in immorality in the old days was called Mill Street, where the houses of prostitution and the taverns and the gambling places and all were. And there was a certain music that was always at Mill Street, and this is how he describes it. He said, the forbidden pleasures of Mill Street always, always come wrapped in the pulsing rhythms of the blues. That's a powerful statement. That is telling us that certain kinds of pulsing rhythms do something to the body that is a licentious thing or can easily become a licentious thing. God's people should have nothing to do with such a thing. We should stay as far away from that as we can if we are wise. B.B. King is one of the old bluesmen who is still alive. And this is how he describes himself in his own book, his own music. He said, the women reacted with their bodies flowing to the rhythm coming out of my guitar. And they knew the power of that old sorry blues music to create a licentious feeling in women. That should tell us to stay away from those kinds of rhythms that can do that. Have no place in a Christian's life. The Bible says we're to put down the flesh. And so there are certain rhythms that create and produce licentious effects. In fact, there are, and the music industry knows it, sexy rhythms. Sexy rhythms. This is a sex-crazed society we live in, and it's no surprise that the music that this society is in love with is a sexy music. And it is. Dr. David Elkin, who was a chairman of the Department of Child Study at Tufts University, this is what he said about rock music. There is a great deal of powerful sexual stimulation in the rhythm of rock music. He's not a Christian. He's not trying to warn people. He's just making an observation. He says, there's sexiness in rock music. Of course there is. Of course there is. Just this year, one of the rappers, Missy Elliott, produced a new album, a new rock album this year, in the year 2001. And this is how USA Today described her music. It's a seductive cocktail of quirky rhythms and hypnotic beats. That's exactly how you could describe some of the Gaither albums. Quirky, seductive, a cocktail, hypnotic beats, sexy beats. That's not what God says we're supposed to be doing in the Christian life. There are sexy rhythms. And so the Word of God tells us very plainly that our music is to be spiritual, not of the flesh. It's to be holy, not of this old wicked world. It's to be that which is set apart unto God, not that which pleases demons. And so our music is to be different from that which is of this world. Number three, the Bible also says that good Christian music emphasizes melody. Melody. It emphasizes melody. We see that very plainly in Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Melody. Now, there's many parts of music. And one of the basic parts of music is melody. Melody. It doesn't mention rhythm. It doesn't mention harmony and other parts of music. It says melody. What's melody? Well, it's a simple tune. That's what a melody is. It's the tune. It's what you can hum. And it's interesting that the Word of God emphasizes melody to us. Because, and I believe very plainly what the Bible is reminding us here, is that the only reason that you have music in Christian music is to help the message. The thing that is important in Christian music is the message. It is for everything in the Christian music. It is the message. And the music is just there to help the message along. And if in any way the music gets in the way of the message, that is bad Christian music. I don't care in what way it does it. It can be too fast. I've been in churches where the music just storms along. Like they've got a pianist that is just like a honky-tonk type pianist, and you can't even think about the words. You're going too fast. You're so fast through the music. The music can be so slow. It just drags along, and you kind of get bored trying to sing it. It can be too complex. The music part can be so beautiful and complex that you don't even hear the message. You're listening to the music. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. The music can have the wrong rhythms. And you can have the words saying one thing, and then the rhythms over here saying something else. We'll illustrate that in a minute. And you've got a conflict. That's bad Christian music. You can have the wrong key. And you can have a minor key, and you can create confusion and conflict that way. Melody. Melody is there because the message is everything in good Christian music. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "Let all things be done unto edifying." The music must fit the message. I want to play one very common and traditional type Christian song for you to illustrate what music can do.
This is my song.
That's an old song, but it wouldn't matter if it's old or new. The principles are exactly the same. The reason that is good Christian music is not because it's old, but because you've got perfect harmony between the music and the message. If you're like me, you found yourself thinking about the words. And you found you didn't even think about the music part. That's good Christian music. When it's good Christian music, you won't find yourself responding to the music, trying to dance to it, or even thinking about the music. You find yourself thinking about the words and the message. And the music literally helps you do that in that case. That's good Christian music. Here's another rendition, of the same song. This is also Blessed Assurance.
Blessed
weren't there, but if the words were there, you get the picture. You got the music saying one thing, and you got the words saying something else, and that's a conflict, and that's bad Christian music. And that applies in every instance. Good Christian music is music where the words and the music are in perfect accord and perfect harmony, and there's no conflicts, and the music is not getting in the way of the words and pushing the words out of the way, and the music is not becoming predominant. That's good Christian music, because good Christian music always emphasizes melody. Number four, good Christian music is Christ-centered. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says everything is to be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything in our Christian life should be done, of course, and should be Christ-centered. And tonight, excuse me, if we look at contemporary Christian music, you find exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. In fact, instead of a Christ-centeredness, you find, and they'll even admit it, it's artist-centered. It's artist-centered. It's all about the artist. I have a few Christian music magazines with me tonight, and you can see just by the covers how totally man-centered, how totally artist-centered they are. It's exactly like rock and roll. Rock and roll is all me-centered. Look at me. They dress a certain way. They look a certain way. They talk a certain way. All for the purpose of getting somebody to look at them. And that's exactly what you find in contemporary Christian music tonight. It's all artist-centered. It's not Christ-centered. Here's the Tooth and Nail. Here's the Seven Ball magazine. And you find groups looking exactly like rock and roll musicians. The same, hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. It's all artist-centered. Here's CCM magazine. Tony McKeon, who is with DC Talk. Very, 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 very popular. And it's all artist-centered. Here's Christian Musician magazine. They've got a drummer on here they call Zorro. Zorro, that funky drummer. And it's all man-centered. In fact, you can't even imagine going back 2,000 years and imagine the Apostle Paul being on the front page of a magazine. And they've got their Paul, that funky apostle. Can you even imagine such a thing? No, you can't, because that's a different kind of Christianity than you had 2,000 years ago. Here is Gospel Today magazine. Gospel Today. And here is Kirk Franklin, who is extremely popular and influential, and the group Mary Mary, who is two girls that are the group Mary Mary. And there they are. And it's all me-centered, and look at me, and here I am, and artist-centered, and all about the artist. And they all have fan clubs, and the internet is full of fan clubs about contemporary Christian musicians. That's not Christ-centered, my friends. That's not what we see in the Bible. That's not how the apostles lived. You don't find any stars and entertainers and artists and all of this. This is patterning ourselves after the world. But the Bible says that our music is to be Christ-centered. In fact, when you have concerts, here's an example, Michael W. Smith, very, very, very popular. And at his concerts, you have girls screaming and screaming, just like you have at a regular rock concert. In fact, here's an example. This is a Michael W. Smith concert. And it's exactly like the world. They're screaming for Him. They're not screaming for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's man-centered and it's artist-centered. And my friends, it's wrong. Number five, sound Christian music is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Number six, yes, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, The Bible says that we are to give thanks into all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible mentions the names of Jesus Christ just in the New Testament alone 1,538 times. And the Bible is telling us that Jesus Christ and His very name is to be predominant in everything we do, and certainly in our music. That's what we're supposed to be singing about, is the Lord Jesus Christ, done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's music that is not just dealing with one little part of Jesus, but dealing with everything that the Bible says that Jesus Christ is. It says the Lord Jesus Christ. That's important, because every one of those names tells us something about who Jesus Christ really is. He's not just Jesus. He is. That means Savior. But He's not just Jesus. He's also Lord, and He's also Christ, who is Almighty God, who is the Christ who was foretold to us and promised to us and prophesied before in the Old Testament. And He's all of that. And our music should state all of that about Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you look at contemporary Christian music, there's a debate going on in contemporary Christian music about whether you even have to use the name Jesus to have Christian music. In fact, there's a debate going on about whether you can have Christian music that doesn't even talk about religious things. That's insanity. In three of Michael W. Smith's albums, some of the most popular music out today, you don't even find one mention of Jesus Christ. In two of the Newsboys' albums, they don't even mention Jesus Christ. They don't even mention Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible tells us our music is always to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have any debates in Bible-believing churches about whether the name of Jesus has to be there or not. And so it's to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sixthly, good Christian music flows from a submissive attitude. In Ephesians 5:21, just reading the context further down, after he mentions music, he says in verse 21 that we're to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And if God is working, and if the Spirit of God is there, He's going to create a submissive, humble attitude in a person, whether he's young or old. But if we look tonight at contemporary Christian music, what we see is exactly the opposite of that. I get hundreds of letters from people about music, and many of those people want to fuss at me about music, and they'll call me names, and they'll cuss at me many times. There's two types of people that write to me and cuss at me that claim to be Christians. The Catholics do it a lot, and the defenders of contemporary Christian music do it a lot. They just cuss. But the Bible says that we are to be humble. We are to be submissive, submitting yourselves. I get letters like this. Hey, Pharisee, you're not going to tell me what kind of music I can listen to. Why don't you get a life? I get letters just like that almost every day of my life. And many of those letters are from very young people, many times from teenage people. And they're talking to a 51-year-old preacher. They're talking to a man who's raised four children and who has served the Lord for 28 years. That kind of attitude is never of God. I had a young girl come up to me in Maine, and she had her boyfriend there. And he didn't want to be there, but he was there because he wanted to be with her, and her daddy made him come to church. And so, but she was dressed very, very immodesty in an ungodly fashion, and she was there in my face trying to defend Christian rock music. But if you look at her life, you realize there was nothing godly or submissive or humble or spiritual about her life. She's deceived of the devil, because when God is at work, there's going to be submission. When God is at work, young people are going to want to obey their parents. And if their parents say that something's wrong, if God is at work in my life, I'm going to say, well, I better listen to that. I better humble myself here. Maybe I do like that music, but maybe I'm wrong. God says a whole lot more about obeying my parents than He does about having my way in music. And yet contemporary Christian music tonight stirs up that same old rebellion. Contemporary Christian musicians tell young people, hey, don't let anybody tell you what kind of music you can listen to. You can listen to any kind of music. Don't let those old Pharisees, those old legalists, don't let them put some shackles on you. That's rebellion, my friend. That's not of God. That's of the devil. Because godly Christian music, good Christian music, flows from a submissive attitude. I read about a group of young people in a church, and they were pressuring their pastors to get Christian rock music into the youth groups. And they were putting pressure and putting pressure. And one of those young people said, at one time, we would do what our elders told us. But it's not like that anymore. Nowadays, we're taught to think for ourselves. Yes, but my friends, the Bible hasn't changed. God still tells young people to obey those that are over them and to obey their parents. And not just obey, honor them. You can obey and still not honor. And if God is at work, and if it's a music that pleases God, and if it's a message that pleases God, it's going to create a submissive, humble, godly type of attitude in people. Be careful about contemporary Christian music because it stirs up rebellion and many times creates the same kind of conflicts, generational conflicts in homes that rock and roll music does. It flows, godly Christian music flows from a submissive attitude. Not only does the Bible say we're to honor and obey those that are over us, but Romans 14, verse 21 even goes so far to say that we're not to offend others. Romans 14, 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. And so I'm supposed to go way beyond the ideal of pleasing myself and saying, hey, I can listen to what I want, I can do what I want, I can dress like I want to. That's not of God. That's not of what the Bible says. The Bible says I'm to go way beyond that. I'm to be concerned about what I do, how it influences somebody else. I remember when I hadn't been saved very long, and I had cut my hair some, but it was still pretty long. It was too long for a man. And I was slowly cutting my hair a little bit. I was out on visitation one night with a man in Bartow, Florida, who was discipling me and helping me. We knocked on the door of this house, and an elderly lady came up there and invited us in. So we went in, and my friend began to witness to this lady and talk to her about the Bible. And after just a short time, she stopped him, and she said, hey, she said, I don't want to listen to you telling me something about the Bible with that old long-haired man standing over there. And that was me. And my hair wasn't really that long then, but it was, I think, longer than it should have been. And there was a lot of things that I could have done at that point. I could have said, look, lady, you should have seen it 2 months ago. I could have said, look, lady, it's short by my standards. I really don't care about your standards. Mind your own business. But I didn't say that by the grace of God. I said, ma'am, you're right. It is too long. And I'll get it cut tomorrow. I did get it cut tomorrow. And God wants us to be concerned not just about our own self and my rights, but what is going on with other people. And what I'm doing, how it's influencing somebody else. We're not supposed to live for ourselves. And godly Christian music is always going to flow from a submissive and a humble and a godly attitude. And you can check that out and find